Our first song tonight, Are You Washed in the Blood? Lift it up with me tonight as we sing. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Savior's side, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? shall be his in the glory on high. Where the gladness and song, I'll be one of the throne, and Calvary covers it all. Shake somebody's hand, welcome them here tonight.
Yes, sir, my music.
That's right. I'll have it up here. Standing, go ahead as we sing the old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I someday for a crown to the old song tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Made of wood, built by man, there it stood, salvation's plan. Adam's fall and my own sin, it was all placed on him. Without the cross, I would not know redeeming love that sought my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would be lost without divine on Calvary's hill for all mankind, flowing through the ages past, destined to reach me. No.
Thank you, Smith. Appreciate that. Well, welcome back this evening. Good to have everybody. And, of course, our spring revival, always excited about that. With that, we have a missionary family visiting with us for the week as well. We've asked them to be here and be a part. And I love missionaries, love missions, good friends of the Moriartys. And that's the Sandalas. Now, that's really difficult because we have the Saldanas. And this is Sandalas. It's kind of like a sand dollar. And it's very important because the chances of me messing this up, pretty high. Pretty high. I'm not going to lie to you. So we're excited. So you'll be hearing from them throughout the week and so forth. So matter of fact, Stephen, if you and your family, your wife, you guys want to stand for a minute over here in the corner here. Yep. So you want to, get to know them. Amen. They just drove in this afternoon. They'll be with us each of the evenings. You'll be hearing from them and seeing them. We have a fellowship afterwards, and so we're excited about that without a doubt. Well, for our evening time, we are going to have a children's program. And so here's how this is going to work. We're going to dismiss the children. And I believe, where'd Jacob go, right? There you go. But it is kindergarten through sixth grade. Is that what it is? The junior church? What, sixth grade, right? Okay. So if you're kindergarten, sixth grade, you can start heading through this door right here. And upstairs, parents, a couple things. If you're going with them, they have requested that you go up the inside stairs but exit towards the gym. And that's just for flow. We can't have everybody going up the stairs, down the stairs at the same time. It could be very chaotic. So if you're taking your child, just keep that in mind. Take them up there, exit. Probably same with picking them up after the service. That'll be a nice flow each evening that you're here to go up the inside stairs and out through the gym. After the service tonight, we do have a little fellowship time. We're excited about that if you're able to stay. So parents, you'll want to grab your kid real quick and head down there as well. So appreciate Jake as well, and both Jacobs. So I'm doing Jacob and Jake just to separate them for myself. And they're going to be working up there and the other helpers, and so appreciate that. Well, it was a good morning. Lord bless. It was a blessed morning. Glad to be back tonight and excited about that. So we're going to ask Brother Young to come and deliver the word. So Brother Dave, you come, sir.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Pastor. Good evening, church family. Happy you're here this evening. How many of y'all like this cold weather? It ought to snow if it's going to be cold. That's what I'm just saying. But take your Bible tonight, would you, and find Ephesians chapter 3 again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 in the your copy of the Word of God. I'm happy, happy, happy you're here tonight. And I was a little worried. So many kids were leaving. I was thinking nobody's going to be here. But it was a huge crowd of kids. Praise the Lord. Y'all have so many kids in the building. Sometimes I go to a church where there's no children. You know how sad that is. And I'm so happy you guys have a ton of children in the church. And so happy to be here. Had a wonderful lunch with Pastor and his wife today. That was a blessing. Always enjoy being around them and just the fellowship and the friendship. And I just always enjoy being at your church. What a blessing to serve you guys. Greetings from my sweetheart. And my apologies that she's not able to be here again this year. But she's certainly praying for us. And I wish she were here with me. We've been happily married for 30 and a half years. And we have five great young'uns, and God's just been so good to us. But really, 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 really thankful that I get to spend these next few days with you. If you don't listen to the Keeping It Young podcast, my wife and I teach on marriage and family every Monday morning for 30 minutes, and that'll drop sometime in the next few hours, actually. But this week, we're talking about how to make an Easter week holy. And so it's a special edition of our podcast tomorrow, and you can find that on any site, Spotify app or whatever, but you ought to check that out in light of this is Easter week. How many of y'all had a good Sunday, did you? How many of y'all got a nap this afternoon? Anybody here? How many of y'all did not? Raise your hand, good night. Well, just so y'all know, this is not the time. Okay. This is not the time to make up for that. And if you get real sleepy on me, Sunday nights are hard because Sundays are full days and they throw us off our normal schedule. And then people come early, you know, to cook desserts and to practice music and all. Sometimes on Sunday night, we have to sing my favorite children's song to wake people up. Y'all know that one? If you're happy and you know it, slap your neighbor. And so don't make me sing that tonight, all right? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. If you're ready for God's word, say amen. The Bible says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Say it. Amen. Don't you love these words? These are just phenomenal words. And I remind you again, you ought to pray them. You ought to pray them for yourself. Lord, help me to be filled with your power, strengthened with your might, by your spirit in my inner man. You ought to pray that. Christ, dwell in my heart. Help me to know your love. And notice the aim of it in the first part of the prayer is that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if you'll let me tonight, I'm going to continue our thought. We talked about the strength we need. That was in the 16th verse. And we talked about the growth we need, found there in the beginning of verse 17. Let's go down to the end tonight, tie it all together in verse 19, and talk about the fullness we need. How many of y'all know the phrase, running on empty? Y'all know that phrase, running on empty? I've traveled for 30 and a half years with my family all over the country. And for our early days of our ministry, we traveled in a Pontiac Grand Am, just me and the sweetheart, traveled all over, driving that little tiny car, had a U-Haul top, you know, carrier on the top of it for her shoes. And we got all that up there. And that was our Pontiac Grand Am. And then we had a baby. And I actually flew to Belarus in 95. Our baby was due that next year, 96. And as I was driving to the airport, I passed a dually pickup truck because we had been praying about an RV, and I knew that Pontiac Grand Am wasn't going to pull an RV. So I saw a pickup truck. While I was in Belarus, my wife bought our first pickup truck. So I came home to at least new-to-us truck. It was an old GMC with a 454 gas engine in it, and I shouldn't have bought that because that got 3 miles to the gallon. And I drove that for a while and thought, you know what, this is not of God. And so we upgraded to our Ford and started driving the 7.3 liter diesels. I drove trucks and pulled RVs all over the country. I've had RVs in the Northwest and the Northeast and Miami and Texas and California. And I'm pretty familiar with them, pretty comfortable. We were in an RV, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago, headed home to Florida. And we crossed out of Nashville, down I-65, Nashville, Tennessee. Headed south of Nashville, crossed the Alabama-Tennessee, the border, I-65. Shortly after the border there, it's not long till you hit the Tennessee River. And when you hit the bridge for the Tennessee River, you're over the swamp for a while. And then you get to the river and you increase. You go, you know, go up, you know, those bridges. You go up so the barges can go under. You go up, you know, it goes up there and then it tops and comes down. And I'm happy. I'm done. We've had a full schedule. We've been busy as all get out. And we're going home. It'd been cold in the north where we were, and it was getting increasingly warmer the farther south we went. I had a happy heart. Got on the bridge, I-65, south of the Tennessee-Alabama border. Got on the bridge, crossing the Tennessee River, and as my truck and trailer started inclining on that bridge almost to the top, my truck did something I'd never experienced a truck doing before. My truck coughed. And nearly caught me off guard. I've never heard a truck cough, and I'm just cruising along, happy as a lark, and I just almost at the crest of that bridge, and my truck coughed, and it caught me off guard, and I thought, well, that something's not right. It coughed again, and I started to panic. I'm on a bridge with, you know, kids in the back and a 40-foot fifth wheel, and my truck, you know, starts shaking and coughing, and I panicked. I looked down at the dash, and that's when I, for the first time, noticed that I had a little fuel symbol light on. And I thought, wonder when that came on. And up here in the console at the top, there's a little digital readout, tells me how many miles I have left before I'm on empty. And I went from there to there, and right there, it said zero. And oh, my soul, do you know that'll help your prayer life? I was praying all kinds of things. Lord, help angels fan us over this bridge. And oh, my soul, I managed a crest, and I coasted. You know, oh, my goodness. It's not that far to the next exit, and there is a truck stop there, and I know it, and I can get fuel there. And I thought, is there any chance? Is there any chance? And brothers and sisters, there was not. So the next little bit, I'm sitting on the side of the road with a truck full of children and a 40-foot fifth wheel, and I'm out of fuel. And what do you do? Well, I did the only thing I knew to do. I got out and went jogging down the side of the interstate. And I jogged down there to that exit, the Priceville, Decatur, Somerville exit. I jogged out. Did you know exits are a long ways when you're running? And thought, well, I didn't realize these were that long. And I jogged down to that stop sign, turned right. There was an Amoco service station there, and they sold diesel. I ran in there to see if they had any fuel, you know, cans for sale. They had 2 1-gallon cans for sale. They wanted an arm and a leg, and I bought both of them. The guy at the counter, I don't know. I mean, I think he was probably not meaning anything by it. It caught me off guard a little bit because I put those gas cans on the counter, and he goes, did you run out of fuel? No, just going to put milk in them. So now I got 2 1-gallon cans of diesel. You're not jogging now. Now I'm walking back up the interstate holding my 2 1-gallon cans of diesel. And then I got self-conscious about it. Y'all ever that way? Because I got a little self-conscious. I know what those people are thinking. Here goes these cars, zoom, zoom. And they're all going, look at that idiot. Guy ran out of fuel. That's his truck sitting back there, I bet. And I remember getting back up there. I learned something that day. It's hard to run on empty. Did y'all know that? You don't get far running on empty. Do you find it interesting in our text? Do you find it interesting that what Paul is praying here is that you and I would live on full? Not run on empty, but live on full. Fullness is a Pauline word. Paul says it all the time. He talks about the fullness of the measure, the stature, the fullness. You know, what is that, Ephesians 4? About coming into the measure of the fullness of God, growing up. And you find out about the fullness of Christ. It's one of his words. And it's in our prayer here. He prays about it, that God's plan for our life is that we live on full. You know what I've noticed? It seems to me that in our culture, many of us are living on empty. We're running on empty. We're just barely surviving. We don't have time for the Word of God. I mean, we know we should, but we really don't have time to feed ourselves on God's Word, or we just don't take the time, maybe. We don't pray much. We're busier than we ought to be, running faster than we ought to run, but we're doing it all on empty. We don't have the strength we ought to have. We don't have the power we ought to have. We're not growing the way we should. We're running on empty. And so Paul prays about that to the church at Ephesus, and it's the message we ought to have tonight. Let's talk tonight about simply here running on empty, the full, or running on full, the fullness we need. Now let's just lay it out. Some of this is a review, and so let's just jump in. How many of y'all agree with this one? This was Sunday school, but isn't that what he's trying to say here? You and I ought to be full of the Spirit. How many of y'all believe that? Are you saved on your way to heaven? Then the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And so here's what he says right here in verse 16. Look, his prayer is that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now let's just review that just a little bit. You ought to be a Spirit-filled child of God. That affects your tongue, doesn't it? How many of y'all ever get in trouble with your words? You ever get in trouble with your words? Some of you get in trouble because you don't use them. Some of you are silent, like Adam in the Garden of Eden. Remember the Adam in the Garden of Eden? The devil is attacking his family. The devil is attacking the future of the whole human race. And as far as I can tell, he didn't say a word. He sat there, just watched it go by. A lot of us men, let's be honest, men. No, nobody here but us. Sometimes we men are that way, aren't we? We know we ought to take the stand and lead our family and have a family altar. And speak up, and it's easier for us men to just sit quietly like Adam in the Garden of Eden. When I'm Spirit-filled, the Spirit of God can lead me on what I ought to say and what I ought not to say and how I ought to respond, how I ought not to respond. I used a phrase this morning. Did y'all catch it? I said that being filled with the Spirit ought to be real-time living. Did y'all pick up on that this morning? In other words, it's real-time. You got a job, the Spirit of God in real time wants to lead you and guide you and help you in real time to be the Christian you ought to be. Does that make sense? How many of y'all are married? Are you married? How many of y'all are married? Are y'all married? Are y'all happy about it? All right, 3 of you. Praise the Lord. Now listen, if you're married, how many of y'all know this? The day you got married, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you don't, you've probably figured it out. If you didn't know it the day you got married, you figured it out. Did y'all know you married a sinner? Did y'all know that? And when you marry a sinner, one guy said to me one night in one of our family conferences, he said, you know, Brother Young, he said, praise God, my wife and I have been married 19 years and we have never one time had a crossword. I said, why aren't you two living together? And he caught him off guard a little bit. I'm sorry, if two sinners are married together and in 19 years there's never been a crossword, I don't mean this to be mean, but somebody's dead. Are y'all with me on that or not? Are you serious? All of us live in real time, don't we? We have, you know, inconveniences and irritations. Sometimes life is up and down, and sometimes we feel better, and sometimes we don't feel better. But the Spirit of God wants us to be filled in real time. He wants to work in our life in real time, to where He's directing my steps in real time, in my marriage and with my children and in my business dealings and in my living. Every day of my life, the Spirit of God wants to fill me so that I'm controlled by His leadership, His wisdom, His direction, His discernment, His purity, His power, His protection. I need Him, and so do you. So many of us are running along on empty. We're trying harder. Sometimes we try, I probably ought to be better there. I probably ought to try better there. I probably ought to pick it up there. Well, I just don't know if you know this or not, but there's not a person in this room smart enough, wise enough, big enough, powerful enough, strong enough, been saved long enough to succeed in Christianity on your own. And that's why Paul comes along and says, you know what? You ought to quit running on empty and you ought to live on full. You ought to quit running on empty. You ought to live on full. So start here. You ought to be full of the Holy Spirit. How are y'all doing? When's the last time you thought about Him? Is He real? Now, we want to be careful with our theology, but there's no doubt about it that the Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father is. Is that right? And the Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Son, Jesus Christ, is. Isn't that right? And if we're not careful, we never think about Him. We're never aware of His presence in our lives. Do you know the Spirit of God moved into your life to strengthen you and help you so you could live on full instead of running along on empty, and yet you never think about Him, so many of us? When's the last time you prayed for the Spirit of God to fill you and empower you, strengthen you and help you? When's the last time you prayed that? I'm talking about real time. I was in a revival years ago in Somerville, Alabama, on the exit where I ran out of fuel. I was in a revival down about 9 miles off that exit. And it was a unique revival. It was one of my favorite revivals. And it stands out to me because the pastor actually got in trouble. 6 weeks before our revival, the pastor had to resign his church in disgrace. It was a really sad story. And I thought, well, I guess we're going to close that revival. And the chairman of the deacon board called me and said, we really need revival, Brother Young. And you've never been here before, and we don't know you, but we know you're on the schedule, and it's only 6 weeks out, and we figure you probably can't reschedule on that short of notice. He said, if we worked at it, would you still come even though we don't have a pastor? We really need revival. And I said, well, tell you what, if you guys will fast and pray and work at it, I'll come preach a revival. And I'm telling you, we had a glorious meeting from the very first service. The Spirit of God was there and heaven came down and people were gloriously saved through the week. And it was a dramatically powerful meeting. There are still fruit that I see regularly from that revival. It was just incredible. And on Thursday night of that revival, an older lady said to me, she said, hey, Brother Young, she said, my brother is dying of cancer and he's not saved. He lives 2 miles down the road right here in front of the church. She said, would you go visit and try to get him saved? And I said, well, I'd be happy to. Now, she said, I got to tell you something, Brother Young. She said, he doesn't like preachers. I'm always like, well, that's a little encouraging because I are one, you know. She said he always runs preachers off. He won't talk to preachers, but would you go? All right, fine. I've been run off before. And I went over to church the next morning, and it was dark in that big old auditorium, and I got up there just in the darkness at the front row of a pew and got on my knees, and I said, now, dear Holy Spirit, I know I can't win a man to Jesus, but you can. Amen. And I don't know how to be a soul winner. I don't know how to talk to a man that hates preachers, but you can help me. I probably stayed on my knees for 25 or 30 minutes at least, just asking God, His power, His Spirit to fill me and help me that day. Just help me. I'd like to see that man saved. I can't do that. And Lord, I don't know how to do it. I don't know. What do you say to a man that's only got 3 or 4 months to live? Or, what do you say? And how do you wake up a man that's hated God for years? And And I don't, but I prayed about it. Lord, you got to fill me. This is your work. I can't do it on my own. Help me, Lord. And later that morning, I got in a church van, and she said, if you go about 2 miles down the road, you'll see a brick house. There's a barn out front. There'll be cows there in the field, she said, and there's an oak tree there. Well, I started driving down that road. There's cows everywhere, and barns everywhere, and oak trees everywhere. But I went about 2 miles, and there's one about there. And I thought, well, I hope this is it, because I'm heading in. And I parked the van, went up on the porch, knocked on the door. This young man opened the door, young fella. I said, young man, I'm Dave Young, and I'm preaching a revival at Somerville Baptist just down the road here. And I said, I've come down to see Mr. So-and-so and talk to him about going to heaven. I mean, might put it on the table. So he leans back like this. Door's open. He leans back and he said, hey, Grandpa, there's a preacher here to see you. I thought, well, nothing like putting it on the table. And this voice, rather feeble, said, all right, send him in. I thought, well, I'm in. I didn't give that man time to say anything. I stepped around the door talking. I said, Mr. So-and-so, I'm Dave Young, and your sister told me to come down here because she wants you to go to heaven and not go to hell, and you need to get saved, and I want to quote you the 23rd Psalm. And I just started quoting the 23rd Psalm to him. I'd never done that before. I don't go soul winning and quote the 23rd Psalm. I stepped in the door and all of a sudden felt led of God to quote the 23rd Psalm. And I did. And I said to him, you know what the psalmist said? The Lord is my shepherd. And you don't know him, but he could be yours. And the psalmist said, I got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not afraid to die, because he said in the last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I said, you know what? I thought as a boy, that's church. You go, I heard preachers pray that when I was a kid. Now, Lord, he said, thank you, we could be here in the house of the Lord tonight. Well, I read that one night in Psalm 23 and thought, now, wait a minute. You're not going to stay in church forever, and I just won't say praise the Lord for that. I love church. I wouldn't be there forever, would you? I mean, church is great, but not forever. And yet he prayed about that, so he must be talking about heaven. Well, I just quoted every verse I could think of. We're all sinners, and we're going to go to hell, and we need to be saved through Jesus Christ. And finally, I caught my breath about 25 minutes later. I preached him a good sermon. He just sat there and looked at me. About 25 minutes later, I said, all right, now what about it? Don't you think you ought to get saved? And he said, now listen, preacher, I think I'm fine. Seriously? I said, what do you mean you think you're fine? Well, he said, I was in Vietnam years ago, and they were killing everybody around us. I mean, shells were dropping, and people in foxholes all around me were dying and scared me to death. And I prayed and asked God to let me live. And he said, I'm alive, ain't I? I said, well, I have no doubt that God heard your prayer. That's not the same thing as getting saved. It's not the same thing at all. I said, what I'm asking you is, don't you think it's time that you say, God, I'm a sinner and I ought to go to hell, but I want to get saved? He said, preacher, I'm telling you, I think I'm okay. What makes you think that? He said, because I got cancer 20 years ago, and they took me in for my first cancer operation, and I was on a gurney out there, and he said, it was the second time in my life I prayed, and I said, God, don't let me die. I want to live. I'm alive, ain't I? I said, you sure are, and I think God probably heard your prayer, because God reigns on the just and on the unjust. If God reigns on the just and on the unjust, I have no doubt that if he wants to answer the prayer of a man who's not even saved, he could. And I said, maybe God answered your prayer. But that's not the same thing as getting saved. I said, Mr. So-and-so, you're going to die of this cancer. The doctor said so. And even if it's not this cancer, you still got to die. Boy, you need Jesus. Next thing I know, tears begin running down that man's face. And I got to kneel there in his living room, and he got saved. Now, here's the whole deal. Somebody says, well, it must have been amazing to go to Bible college and to learn the 23rd Psalm so you can go soul winning with it. I'm not that smart. I didn't know to do that. But I asked the Spirit of God to fill me. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you see what I mean? You need his power. Stop running on empty. Live on full. Pray about it. I want to be Spirit filled. I need help. I want to be the husband I ought to be. Want to be the daddy ought to be. Want my tongue to be right. I want to speak to people and encourage them and uplift them. I need help. Y'all feel that? I need help. Pray about it. I want to be full of the Spirit. You see it in the text, don't you? He says here, you ought to be full of Jesus Christ. Now, I preached on that this morning, so I won't park there much longer. But let's just review it. Don't you agree that I ought to be filled with Jesus Christ? He wants to dwell in my life and in your life. He prayed about it here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Are you full of the Spirit? That's a valid question. Are you full of Jesus? Is Jesus so real in your life that your wife can sense it? Your husband can sense it? Your children can sense that Jesus is real in your life? My daddy came home one night from church. My daddy's a country boy. Comes from a rough family. His daddy was a drunk, a moonshiner. His mom was a pistol packing mountain woman. And rough family. My dad, mean as the devil at times, had a temper like a wildcat. He got saved when I was in kindergarten, but his temper never got sanctified for a number of years. And my dad came home one Sunday night and sat us down and said, "Kids, I'm so embarrassed about my temper, and I prayed about it tonight. And I asked Jesus to help me with my temper." He said, y'all just want you to know I'm praying about it. I want Jesus to help me with my temper. This is my dad. I heard him cuss when he loses his temper. I've seen him do damage when he lost his temper. But he prayed for Jesus to dwell in his heart by faith. He didn't say those words, but that's the point. You know, God changed my daddy. Stopped living on empty. Started living on full. And what happened? He turned into a different man. Christ living in him. It happened. It's real. This is real-time Christianity. That's what Paul's praying about. I want to be full of Christ in my life. I tell stories about my dad's temper, and my kids don't believe me. You know why? Because they know that man. They can't imagine my daddy losing his temper. He's just a big puppy dog now. My dad was rough as nails when I was a kid. Now, and he's just a big old teddy bear. It's the weirdest thing when I get around my dad. I was like, who is this man? He looks vaguely familiar. My dad was rough as all get out on us kids. We couldn't even move our legs in church. You had to sit like a little statue with your hands in your, lap, and you didn't move during church. And if you did, he'd thump you on the back of the head or drag you out and spank you. He was rough. My son Jake, who's with your children, was 4 years old. I was in my mom and daddy's church on a Sunday morning, sitting on the same pew with my mom and daddy. And for some reason, Jake was in my lap. He talked out loud in the service, and I just got all over him. I mean, he was actually sitting in my mom's lap. I was on the other end of the pew. He talked out loud to my mom, and I gave him the look, "You get down here." And he got down, he came down, gave it to him. Service said, "You know what my dad said?" My dad's like, "Now, son, he's only four." I was like, "Sir, I don't think I know you, do I? Have we met?" See, my dad's rough as nails. But here's the whole point. My dad's so gentle. Why? Because now he's living a different life. Brothers and sisters, you and I have got to have revival. I need to be full of the Spirit. That'll help you have revival. And full of Christ. That'll help you have revival. Look at the next one. It's in the text here. Look at this one. I ought to be full of love. Did y'all see that in the text? He says, look at that. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded. Planted in love. Growing in love. And you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now, you just chew on that just a moment. He says right here, you not only should be full of the Spirit, you not only should be full of Jesus, you ought to be full of love, rooted and grounded and comprehending it and knowing it. And just chew on that a moment. Do you find it interesting? He says, you ought to know the love of Christ, and then, if I could paraphrase it, you ought to know the love of Christ, and by the way, you can't. You can't comprehend it. It passes knowledge. I think about how do you explain that? Maybe it's like parenting. How many moms and dads do we have in the room? How many moms and dads? Remember before you had children? Can you think back that far? Remember before you had children when you knew how to raise them? Do y'all remember that? Do you know what I mean by that? Before I had children, I said some of the dumbest things. Before I had kids, I said to my wife one day, I wouldn't put up with that for 5 minutes. That's what I said. I was right in a sense. I put up with it instead for 19 years. How many of y'all identify, do you? You say dumb things like this before you have children. You'll say, my kid would never do that. You be careful about that if you don't have kids, because God will give you a kid that will do everything you said your kid would never do and do it with enthusiasm. That's my Matthew. My first two kids, I thought, we got this thing, parenting. Bring it on. We got it. We can handle this. Our two, praise God, parent easy. We got it. Then we had Matthew. My soul, that kid. He was probably four. Had all three of them in Walmart. He was about 4 years, had all three in Walmart. And this lady, she said, my goodness, how many kids you want? I said, two. Not about now. Two would be good. Because I don't know if I'm going to survive this one. My goodness, that kid was hard. He had a temper like a wildcat. He'd take a spanking. This is worth it. Bring it on. He'd think it over too. Yeah, it's worth the spanking. And he'd just jump right in. Kid was crazy. Now, he's been our funniest kid. Now he's a youth pastor and has 80 teens in his youth group. Praise God, we won. It's what you call a miracle. That kid makes me laugh, though. He's hilarious. He's probably six. He's 6'4", and I'm not. And one night in our hallway at home, he met me in the hallway, and he put his hands on my face like this and pulled my head over and kissed me on top of the head. He said, good night, Father. Sleep well. Most likely, I will still love you in the morning. It's like, where do you get a kid like this, you know? What in the world? He said to me one day, he said, you know, Dad, you've always been like a father to me. It's like, well, that's probably a good thing right there. Had my doubts a few times. He just cracks me. One night I took the kids to church. We always go to church on Sunday night. That's our family night, Sunday night. We always go to church on Sunday night and fellowship and give and sing and laugh. And then we go home and watch something, you know, or play a game or so. Sunday night's our family night. One Sunday night, I went to church. We stopped by a pizza place. I bought three pizzas for all the kids. Got in the van, handed it back to the kids. Only 3 miles to the house. We're going to, you know, get out of our church clothes and get comfortable and watch a movie or something. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to do something to have fun that night. About almost at the house, I realized my kids were eating the pizza. And it wasn't a big deal. But, you know, I'm daddy. So I'm like, well, kids, what's wrong with you kids? My Matthew said, well, probably poor parenting. Well, it's hard to argue with that. And I thought, my goodness, it's a miracle he's alive, just so y'all know. I'm so happy about one thing, though, church. So happy about one thing. I prayed for that boy. And I said, now, Lord, when he has a kid, would you do me a favor and give him one just like him? And I just want y'all to know, the Lord has answered my prayer. I'm so happy about this. I'm just thrilled. I'm just watching it from afar and just saying hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His little five-month-old boy got him out of bed the other night, he told me. Got him out of bed. He said, Daddy, got him out of bed. He's crying and he's hungry. So I fed him. It's 2:30. I fed him, got him a bottle, got him a clean diaper. His eyes were closed. He said, Daddy, I eased into his bedroom and I put him, kind of all covered up, you know, and laid him in his bed, eased my hands out from under him, and started to stand up. He said, Dad, his eyes went boom. And he smiled at me, wiggled right out of those covers, was wide awake wanting to play. And I said, I'm so sorry, son. And inside I said, thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm being a little silly here, but do you follow what I'm saying? You know, how do you parent? If you don't have children, it's hard to explain parenting, isn't it? It's hard to explain how much you can love a child, though. You have one. And I was worried about that. I love my Abby so much. I thought, how in the world am I going to love another one? We're going to have Josh. How do you love the second one? And then I discovered something about love. Love never divides. It multiplies. Parenting helped me with that. But I had to experience parenting to fully wrap my mind around parenting. I think the love of God's the same way. I can talk about it all day. We can sing about it. The love of God is greater far. And we can marvel about it. We can hear sermons about it. But until you have stepped into the love of God and experienced its overflowing in your life, you will never quite comprehend what Paul is praying about. You ought to pray about it. Think about the love of God. Let's close here in just a moment. I'm already there, aren't I? All right, here we go. Look at this. We ought to be full of love because that's our relationship to God. What's the greatest command in the Bible, church? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. How many of y'all know about that, do you? Do you love the Lord that way? Any evidence in your life, anything in your life that would indicate, I love the Lord with all my heart? Is there any proof, any in teenagers, anything in your life that would say, I love the Lord with all my heart? Daddies, anything in your life that would say, I love the Lord? It might be the fact that we go to church every service. That says, I love the Lord. My neighbors would say, wow, we're the only people on our street except for one other family that regularly goes to church. Neighbor over here, I don't think has ever gone to church. Or over there. The neighbors over here do. They're primitive Baptists. And they switch off between the primitive Baptists and the Assembly of God. She was raised primitive Baptist. He was raised Assembly of God. So they switch off every week between two different churches. But they do go to church, and they evidence they love the Lord. They don't do everything I would do and dot every I the same way I would, but I'd say they love the Lord. I really believe that. They love the Lord. They'll play music outside, sometimes Christian music. Now they love the Lord. Look, out there playing Christian music. They love the Lord. The way they train their children. Their kids almost go overboard to say yes, sir, to me. And he's like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, over and over. They're training their kids well. Say they love the Lord. Is there anything in your life that would say you love the Lord? Maybe the way you sing at church. It's about our relationship to God. Part of Christianity is worship, isn't it? It's a way to live. Christianity says this is how you live. And in a world like ours, this is a way to live. Christianity is a worldview. A worldview is how you answer the big questions of life. Why am I here? Where did I come from? What will happen when I die? Christianity is a worldview. But Christianity is also a worship. It's a God to worship. I'm a Tennessee Vols fan. Y'all are, thank y'all. Tennessee beat Texas yesterday. You're welcome. But think about this just a little bit. Think about this. You can go to Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee with 105,000 people, and they worship. Rocky Top, you'll always be. They sing with all their heart. They get all in on that fight song. They're, in a sense, they're just showing how much they love football, how much they love Tennessee Orange. It's really kind of silly how into that we are, right? We're all in. We love it. We love it, love it, love it. You know, when I go to church and I sing, what am I showing? That I love the Lord. Amen. I ought to live the love of God. Amen. Sing with all your heart. So I'm not a good singer. Sing anyway. Just sing with all your heart. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Why? Because it's about our relationship to the Lord. Being full of love is about our relationship to each other. Amen. The Bible says we're to abound in love toward one another. We're to bear one another's burdens and serve each other and worship. We're to wash each other's feet. We're to care about each other. What's it? We're to love each other. Teenagers, don't get so addicted to a phone that at church you forget to put it down and encourage somebody and talk to somebody or pray with somebody. Moms and dads, don't get so comfortable in your seat. Baptists are awesome, aren't they? It's my seat. Don't you sit there. That's where I always sit every service, right there. That's my chair. That's my seat. And I know how we are. We all like that. But let's not forget to love each other. Have somebody in your home occasionally for a meal and encourage them. Let's encourage each other. Let's bear each other's burdens. We're to be full of love. It makes a difference in our life. It's about our relationship to God. It's about our relationship to each other. It's about our relationship to the world around us. Why is it important that I'm full of the Spirit and full of Christ and full of love? Because that's my relationship to God. That's my relationship to those around me, my brothers and sisters. That's my relationship to a world that needs to be saved. I'm constrained by the love of God. I'm to see my neighbors. Yes, my neighbors can sometimes be out there a little bit, maybe live a little pagan, but I'm to love them because Christ does. I'm to show that. to reach out to them. My neighbor came over the other day. She lives over here on this side of our house. She lives with her best friend. They two ladies lived together for years. Neither one are married. She's getting older now. She always either has a cigarette or a can of beer in her hand. She's my neighbor, and she's friendly to me. She takes care of my house when I'm not home. She's a good neighbor in that regard. She's got six or seven trees she wants cut, and I cut trees. She came over today, and, you know, Dave, would you think you'd cut these sometime soon? And I went over and marked all the ones she wants cut. When I'm home next week, so one day next week, I'm going to go over and cut her trees. I cut those trees and cut them up, and then I split the wood and I stack it. And at Christmas time, I sell the firewood. That's how I buy my wife's presents. I sell the firewood I cut. And I always advertise it on Facebook Marketplace as organic firewood. And you'd be surprised how many people buy my organic firewood. I had one lady call and she said, "Is it really organic?" "Well, yeah, it really is." And she said, "I'll be over there. I've been looking for organic firewood." I don't know why she's looking for organic firewood. As far as I know, it all is. But she came to buy mine. And see, here's the whole deal. You know why I would cut firewood for that neighbor of mine? So I'm trying to get her to come to church with me on Easter Sunday. So I love her. I prayed for a cat when her cat died, and I never thought I'd do that. She came running into my garage, bawling her eyes out. "Oh, my goodness, my cat died. You got to pray for me." Said, "Okay, Lord, help me now." I prayed for her cat. I prayed for her. She lost her cat. "Lord, you know, thank you for 21 years with that cat." I'd been praying it would die. I mean, the poor thing was 21 years old. It walked, it drug its back in. And I was like, "Lord, please take this cat, okay?" But I still prayed for her. Why? Because I'm trying to show her the love of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is just real living. Full of love. Anybody in your life, you're looking at going, "Lord, I love them and I want them saved. Fill me with your love for them. Fill me, Lord. I need your love because I want to see them saved. Keep working on them. My one neighbor, I've been trying to win him to Christ for 6 or 7 years. Christmas time, I walking with my wife down the road, and he pulled up in his big old four-wheel drive, you know, jacked up dually pickup. Couldn't even see him. He rolled the passenger window down, but he's way up there. So I stood up on the side of that truck and looked in. He said, "Dave, do you still go to church?" "Well, you could say that." He said, "Can I go to church with you Sunday?" Now, you would think, he was on my daily prayer list for 5 years, Pastor, and you would think I'd had more faith. He said, "Can I go to church with you Sunday?" He said, "I'm going to go to church with you Sunday." And I said, "You are?" "Oh, yeah," he said. He said, "Dave, 6 months ago, I've been meaning to come up and talk to you." He said, "6 months ago, my wife left me. It's been a rough year. I feel like I need God." Well, he came to church with me. Got saved. His kid got saved. His daughter got saved. God's working it. Oh, brothers and sisters, to be full of the love of God makes a difference in a life. I'm not your standard. I'm just illustrating. None of us have arrived. That's why Paul's praying about it. Let me show you something. I'll close just a second, I promise. You know the church at Ephesus is an important church in the New Testament. Did you know that? Paul spent 3 months speaking in the synagogues and 2 years teaching in the school of Tyrannus in the city of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul was there almost 3 years helping that church. They had a great meeting. Paul even describes his ministry there by saying that everybody in Asia heard the word of the Lord because of the church at Ephesus. What an amazing church. They show up in Acts several times. They get 6 chapters here in this book, the book of Ephesus, the letter to the church of Ephesus. They show up again in the book of Revelation. They get a letter from Jesus himself through John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 2. What I find interesting is that the first letter they get is right here. And he says to them, "You know what I want you, what I'm praying for you, that you'll be rooted and grounded in love. That you'll be filled with the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and you'll understand the love of God." When Jesus spoke to them in Revelation 2, you know what he says to this church? You're a great church, he said. I know your works and your labors. Man, you're a great church. And then he says this, but I have somewhat against you. Do y'all remember this? Why? Jesus, what do you got against the church at Ephesus? He said, you left your first love. I've often thought about this. Isn't it interesting that years before Jesus said to them, you've left your first love and I have that against you, he wrote them these words to say, you know what I want? I want you to be full of love. Church, I want you to do right and walk right, but I want you to be full of love. And I find it interesting that apparently it became the failure of their life. Maybe they just got so busy in ministry they forgot to be full of love. Maybe they just got so strict with their positions and their stands. We can do that, can't we? I believe our doctrine ought to be right. I believe we ought to pursue holiness. I think most of us could use a few more standards than a few less ones, probably, couldn't we? But the fact of the matter is, you can dot every I, cross every T, and defend every doctrine, and not be full of the love of God. Have a wrong spirit. Be running on empty. Can't live long on empty. You know that, don't you? So he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be full of the Spirit and full of Jesus and full of love so you can be full of God. Now that I don't understand, but it's beautiful. He said in verse 19, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Victorious Christianity is living every day on full, filled with all the fullness of God. Which leads us to our third decision of this revival week. Our first decision was in Sunday school this morning. I want to be a Spirit-filled Christian. I want to have strength from the Spirit in the inner man. Our second decision, I want to grow spiritually so Christ will dwell in my life. And our decision tonight, I want to live my life filled with all the fullness of God. How long has it been since you were full? Full of the Spirit, full of love, and full of Jesus, and full of God. Paul prayed about it, and maybe many of us need to as well. Let's stand for prayer, shall we? Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just take a moment. Think about your life and your Christianity. Are you running on full or are you running on empty? Are you living on full or are you living on empty? My dear brothers and sisters, many of us tonight ought to get on our knees and say, Lord, before this service ends, would you please help me to be filled again? I want to be full. I want to live on full. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. She's going to hit the first note. When she hits the first note on the piano, why don't you get on your knees? Why don't you walk down an aisle and just ask the Spirit of God to fill you in a fresh new way? Ask the love of God to fill you in a fresh new way. Ask Jesus to fill you. Tell God, Lord, this spring revival, I want to start living on full again. Come on, kneel about it, would you? Lift your hands in prayer if you're not able to kneel. Put your hands in the air and pray. Or be seated and pray. I want to be full. I don't want to live on empty. Is there anybody in a Sunday night service who would say, hey, Dave, I'm going to be real honest with you tonight. Dave, I'm empty tonight. I don't know God. I don't know God. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'm empty. I don't have a spiritual life. I'm empty. But I'd like to know about God, and I'd like to know God, and I'd like to be on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me about it? If that's you tonight, would you lift a hand, Pastor, and I'll see it. We'll pray for you. I don't know God. I'm empty. I don't have spiritual life. I'm empty. Pray for me about it. I need to be saved. I don't want to go into heaven, but I want to know. Anybody at all? Lift a hand if that's you. Anybody at all? I don't want to overlook you. I don't want to miss giving you a chance to know Christ if you don't. Anybody at all? Pray for me, Dave. Just wave your hand. We'll see it. We'll pray for you. Anybody at all? All right, then all of you pray. I'm not singing because I think we all ought to pray about being full. Lord, fill me with love again. Fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with Christ. Help me to know what it means to be full of the fullness of God. Pray about it.
Still time to come if you need to come as instruments continue to play. It's been a good day already. We've got a couple more days to go, and appreciate that, Brother Young. And so I want to remind you, of course, to pick up the kids on the way up. Definitely so. And we do have a building meeting and with our deacons as well tonight. And so, gentlemen, if you want to be dismissed and head in and grab a sandwich while I'm giving some announcements, feel free to do that. We'll meet upstairs for a few minutes. So you guys go ahead and head that way. And that way you don't have to cut in line and, you know, tackle a widow. You know, it's embarrassing. It just is embarrassing. Then I got more work to do after that, and so that's really, really bad. So appreciate that. Hope you'll be praying as well as God's leading us as we're trying to make some decisions, and we'll be unveiling things. We're just kind of in a research stage right now, but, man, the church's been growing, and the school, and our Awana's program, and all kinds of stuff. And that's a good problem to have, very good problem to have. I always say our job isn't to maintain. We're not just kind of maintaining till Jesus comes. That's kind of the comfortable thing, you know, just kind of keep doing what you're doing. But as long as God's going to let us reach people, we want to reach people and to do what God's called us to do. So I hope you'll be in prayer as we continue to see what God wants there. Definitely so. We do have a just reminder, check the nursery list. Again, we like to rotate through there so everyone gets a chance to be in here and be a part of the revival in the spirit of what God is doing without a doubt. And so you can check that at the 3- and 4-year-old in the nursery area. Without a doubt. Now, I know, just kind of check the bulletin. There's other things going on. Without a doubt, Easter next week. And if there's any cards left, if not, pick up some tracts. Make it a point to invite several people this week. And so just ask God to fill you with his power to do it. Say, Lord, give me the power to do it, the opportunity to do it, and to do that before Sunday. I think that'll be a great blessing. But it's always good to be in God's house. And, you know, we can survive a service packed out. Got to sit close to somebody, or maybe you're standing in the back or something. You know, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing, you know, and that someone could hear the gospel. So keep those things in mind if you would. So I think that's the main thing. Are we missing anything? I think that was the main announcement. So keep an eye on that. Of course, there's camp, all kinds of stuff going on. I'm going to have a word of prayer. We are going to have a fellowship right afterwards if you can stay. Head on in, grab a sandwich, sit down with maybe somebody you don't know and say, hi, my name is. You know, we're not even going to give you a little badge or anything, you know, but just get to know somebody, enjoy it. We'll try to have a quick meeting and get on down to fellowship with everybody. But if you'll pick up your kids first, that will be great. And come on in. You say, I didn't bring anything. You don't need to. Just a good fellowship time. It really is. So we'll look forward to that. So I'm a word of prayer. We'll pray for the food, and then we'll head that direction. So, Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you, Lord. What a great day in your house. And, Lord, as we end with some fellowship, Lord, I just pray, Lord, and thank you for the church. And, you know, we love them, Lord, and we love the opportunity to minister and serve and to be with this great group of people, Lord, who love you, Lord, who have a heart for you, who love souls and love each other. And, Lord, I do pray that we continue to have your fullness, the fullness of your spirit, the fullness of you, the fullness of God, and the fullness of love, Lord, that those things would be strengthening in our life, Lord. And, Lord, that we'd run on full and not on empty. And so we just thank you for the message. Thank you for your truth now. Bless the food tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, I'm Pastor John Waterloo. Thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of the service. I hope one day you can connect with us here in our church service as well. That'd be such a great blessing. We'd also like to let you know about just some other resources we have. You can jump on our Facebook page or our website, wherever you like, and find out about our ministries. But again, we'd love to have you join with us one day. Thank you so much for being in our services, and may the Lord bless you.